dancing going on here.
Shimmy, shimmy,
shimmy, shimmy, shimmy.
Hello.
5, 6, 7, 8, and spin.
And turn.
Wow. Mm. Trying to get this mix taken care of. Whoever had this mic last was like, oh, on the mix. Hello, welcome to Intellectual Kink. Mm. How's it going?
It's going. I'm okay.
You're okay?
Yeah. So last week we were
Who are you?
Oh, hey, what's hi? Oh, so I'm Service Slut. Who are you?
And I'm Insidious Muse. So all you people that can't tell our voices apart, mine's the deeper one. Cool? Cool. Mm-hmm. And then we have guests before we get into our shit.
Yes.
Really quickly. Right. We have one of our very, very good female dominant friends, Master Fauna, in the house.
Wow. Hi, my name's Fauna. Nice to meet you.
She's clearly from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And then we have a local fetish artist, Jay Moyes.
Salutations.
Excellent. Okay, now let's hear your shit. Let's get it.
So last week, we told our listeners and our friends that we were embarking on this like crazy experiment.
Really, it was designed to mock one of our very good friends.
Yes, because he entered into a...
he's now owned.
Yes, he's now owned, and he needs to ask for permission for everything. And so...
Everything not work-related.
Everything not work-related. And so Mistress and I had a conversation about it, and she was like, that's totally, like, non-maintainable and ridiculous and unnecessary. And so...
I'm pretty sure I didn't say all of that, but okay.
Okay. But so then we decided... She was like, well, let's try it out for, like, 3 weeks. And then I was like, whatever, we're not doing it for 3 weeks. Let's do it for 1 week. And
yeah,
then
she kept saying, you won't be able to handle it. It'll drive you crazy.
Yes. That was my perception. So the first couple of days I slipped up a little bit because, you know, I'm really just used to just picking up my phone and just, you know, I'm going to go on the Twitter. I'm going to go on the Facebook. It's just very automatic for me. And I had to stop and like, no. And so sometimes I'd like accidentally open that and be like, close it. Don't look at the tweets. And so, I slipped up a couple of times.
Four.
Okay.
Four times.
I slipped up four times.
Four times. I kept track.
And this proved to be, well, no, I wouldn't speak for you, but for me at least, it put me, it made me more aware. Not that I wasn't already aware that we have this dynamic, like this is not news to me, but just kind of made me stop. And no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't you dare fucking do it.
Did you collaborate and listen? I have to. Okay, go on.
But it made me stop it. And, you know, I thought twice before, you know, just regular things that I do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really think about it. And I think I took for granted the liberties that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was interesting for me. What was it like for you?
It had very little impact on my life.
Well, no shit.
So that's why we're doing it again. We're continuing it.
Well, yeah.
Indefinitely.
That was the end result of that.
Yeah. It totally worked out.
Indefinitely.
It's not negatively impacting my life. It's not like a pain in the ass. It's not a challenge. It's like, and it's totally doing great shit for her headspace. So why not?
Excellent.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
That's what's happening.
So that's what's happening. It's awesome.
So that's why I hardly ever tweet anymore.
That's right.
Oh.
She could if she asked.
The thing is that I get so busy like during the day, and so it'll be like a fleeting thought that I would have just picked up my phone and just tweeted, but you know, stopping, texting her, making sure it's okay. And, like I get my day is like go, go, go. So like either I tweet it then or I just don't tweet it.
So, you can save a draft.
Oh, well, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you could save a draft. You're not actually engaging. You could save a draft.
Okay.
Can I talk about permission?
Yeah, please. Before we get into topic, let's do that.
Yeah, I mean, since you brought it up, my boy, my puppy, Patrick, he has to ask for permission to masturbate now.
Yeah.
And so this is a new thing. And so it was very exciting at first. And it's adorable because I know it must be frustrating when you have that freedom to go, oh, yeah, I'm just going to jerk off my dick. And now he has to say, if it pleases you, may I... masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
and I can say no, but I usually say yes. And then it's been really, really fun. Like, it's a fun little game. It impacts my life, so I enjoy it very much. But that's just me, because it's new.
Yeah. I will say this, that when you're starting that, I mean, we already have an existing dynamic, so it's a little bit different. But when you're starting like that and you're really training somebody, fuck, it's exhausting. Especially, and no, men,
oh, yes.
men are a much bigger pain in the ass than women.
Well, I thought
they're so fucking high maintenance. It drives me goddamn up the wall. It's like, really? I don't have fucking time to, like, oh my God, stop for 2 seconds, for fuck's sake.
Well, I told him I wanted to hear him masturbate. Mm-hmm. And so we did this really sexy thing where he wasn't allowed to speak, but he could call me, you know, at any time. I thought that was so sexy. Anytime you can call me. And so he was calling me at 3 a.m, 4 a.m, and I'm like, okay, all right. And I'm talking him through what I want him to do to himself, and he can't speak. And after a while, I'm like, okay, don't call me.
No, I have hours.
I'm serious. We got to do this earlier. This isn't working.
Not after midnight.
Yeah.
Not before 7. We're good.
Yeah. But it's fun. I like it.
Yeah. It's awesome. That's very cool. All right, so now we're going to have a really bad segue into the topic, because I can't think of how to segue into our topic.
No.
So we were going to have Fauna on anyway, just because we love Fauna and she's funny. But then I was contacted by Jay, and normally he can't come in on Wednesdays, but he can today, which is exciting.
I got the night off.
You got the night off?
Mm-hmm.
So part of the reason he's coming in is, number one, he's got a show coming up, and we're going to let him pimp that. But we wanted to talk about kind of fetish and femdom art. And that's your area of expertise. That's where, you know, is that where you started? Or is that like your drawing started like that? Or did do stick figures like me?
Oh, that. Okay. Long, long time ago, when I was a kid, it was more, I wanted to do figures. And I wasn't really good at it. So, you know, I was drawing things like guns and cars and that sort of thing as a kid. And it's like, as I was going through high school, I finally was like, okay, I really, truly want to be able to do figures. So, and the thing was that normal education on the subject just wasn't cutting it. I decided to go off on a tangent and self-teach myself how to draw the female form and that sort of thing. I did find some books that I liked on the subject. Because part of the thing is, you know, when you're going through art, it's, you know, you draw the curves and you draw the outside lines. And it's like, no, I need to start with things like skeletons and, you know, where the actions are going. And, you know, that their form was, you know, the equivalent of like the still life and the fruit and this, that, and the other. It's like, no, I want to draw like comics. And, you know, action. And mm-hmm. And so what got me into it was for the fetish side, stuff like Ryuji Matsumoto, the Captain Harlock stuff, the anime and manga, and then just by sheer coincidence in junior college, I met my first dominatrix, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. And suddenly it's like I knew my niche. I knew where I wanted to start putting my time and energy.
Well, there's a huge fetishistic quality to a lot of comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Wonder Woman is my absolute favorite. I've got like a collection, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of fetish in all of the comics. And I mean, I could see, because, you know, artists mm-hmm. are pervs. It's just a thing.
Yep.
It seems like a natural progression. What was like your first fetish drawing that you did that you really wanted to show, that you wanted to present to other people? Do you still remember?
The first fetish drawing that I wanted to show to other people.
Yeah, like the one thing you're really proud of.
Oh, goodness, I've lost count of the pieces I'm proud of. That's a good sign.
That is good.
Yeah.
The thing was I would probably say it was my first real dom love, which was Luna. Luna was the person I met while I was at the JC. And the irony was I had gotten involved with somebody else, but strangely enough, Luna hadn't come out to me yet. And so, but she was one of my best buddies. So I come running up to her. It's like, you're not going to believe this. I fell in love with a dominatrix. And she's like, how did he know to come and tell me this? And it turns out that she had been a pro dom. And And so, and she had secretly been admiring me from afar. And so I think she was one of the first I drew that, you know, that I remember.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, go on.
I think there were like, well, the thing is, around that time, I started doing what I called the dominatrix calendar. And it's true, 1995. I think there were two drawings of Luna in there, if I remember right.
So, okay. So, because when I think about fetish art, I think about the images that, I miss Tumblr so much. Fuck, do I miss it.
It's interesting because you haven't asked once to do it.
Well, because I don't want to hear no. I'm really scared that that's what's going to happen. But anyways, what?
You're silly girl.
Well, I was in the middle of asking him a question.
Go on.
So, this is going to sound like a really silly question, but like, is it just as simple that you get your inspiration from just, it's hot? Or where does it come from?
Oh, goodness, where do I begin? The one thing I try and keep in mind when I'm drawing is, you know, does it turn me on? And, you know, there are some pieces that it's like, well, I want to try out this or I want to do that. But really, the honest goodness truth is, especially when I'm doing the hardcore pieces, if I'm not at least getting turned on and getting an erection while I'm starting it and getting the ideas for it, then it's probably not a good piece to keep going with. And so, you know, there's some stuff that I'll draw that I may not want to try in real life, but the fantasy still turns me on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's where we rely on artists like you to be able to depict that, even though we can't do it. But man, somebody made it look real good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gravity doesn't have to apply.
Exactly.
Laws don't have to apply.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, again, one of those things why people like comics. Because they can be magical. Well, mm-hmm. We were, you know, just before we went on the air, there was some Cracked article that was talking about six artists whose fetishes defined their art or whatever. And one of them was an artist who does mostly like animal human sex things, like a beast and Beauty and the Beast thing. Mm-hmm. That's a very common, but it's, you know, it's a very taboo fetish. Absolutely. You know, mm-hmm. that kind of concept. But unless you want to look at furries, maybe that's not so taboo. I don't know. I want a furry. I want a furry on. So bad. Sorry.
Wow.
We're getting approval from the sound booth.
Wow. Do you know a furry?
She is a furry.
I don't, but I am intrigued. I want a furry on.
If anybody is a furry, knows a furry, wants to come on the show, fuck, I want a furry on.
Not a Furby.
Well, maybe they could be a furry Furby.
No, you don't want that.
Thank me.
We have a little Teddy Huxman. Is that going to happen?
Oh my God. Don't defile.
I'm totally defiling your childhood.
Hard limit.
What's happening.
Teddy Ruxpin with a dead can dance tape in it.
Teddy Ruxpin with a strap on.
Oh my God.
And like a corset.
Wow. Theodora Ruxpin. Mistress Theodora.
Have some nightmares, baby. Oh, you can see the look on her face if you're watching the live stream feed.
Okay. Tickle me, Elmo will be traumatized
Tickle
for
me,
life.
Elmo. Yeah, well, with some of the background of the Elmo puppeteer, then I guess that's just a whole different spin on it. We're just hitting all the taboos today.
Get it all out. Big Bird.
All right, I'm good.
Okay, I'm done. All right, Snuffleupagus. That's it. I'm done.
He's got a trunk, baby. He used to shave, but he's got a trunk.
I like him hairy and big.
Fuck.
And
welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
He's like E.B. because he's hairy and big. So.
Yes. I just want to climb him.
Yes. Like Mount Rushmore.
Yes. Yes. Like Mount Rushmore. Exactly. You were on the same brainwave. You were reading my mind.
I was.
Well, okay.
So tangent.
Femdom. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
My trunk.
Oh, that is how he talks. All right.
Yeah, doesn't he kind of talk like he's completely stoned out of his mind?
Are you sure he just had one too many ball gags? See where we're going?
What the fuck happened to our topic?
This is the best show ever. I like to defile fantasies, childhood thingies. Mm. You know, I didn't read enough.
So my first masturbation experience was with my teddy bear. Was it with you? No? Just me? I was the only one?
Mine was a jacuzzi.
Aww.
And I made out with my Sean Cassidy pillowcase a lot. You can attribute all of my oral skills to Sean Cassidy. Mm. Thank you very much.
Mm.
Mm. That hair. Come on, I know. Sean, baby.
Mm. Oh, I know, girl. Mm.
You feeling me?
I feel you.
This is the shit we talk on the show, Jay. Sorry.
Don't apologize. Oh, my goodness. Feels good to be here.
I'm glad.
So I was doing research today.
You were.
And I have my laptop with all this research here. And it was interesting because, you know, if you look at some, you know, art through history, there's a lot of sexuality in art, even if you're looking in some of the religious art. I mean, especially if you go into like tribal lands. I mean, there's the worshiping towards fertility gods and other goddesses going way back before Christianity, a lot of sexuality in the art. And that, you know, I mean, I think that's a great testament. I mean, that's a spark because we're visually stimulated beings, mostly men more than women, but we're all visually stimulated beings. And it makes sense if art can inspire you in some way. It was interesting because there was a conversation that you had with a fairly, staunch Christian.
Me?
About sex.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And about how you had said that having an orgasm and sex felt like being in the presence of God.
Ooh.
And how she said, well, she had never had sex, so she said she believes that it fills your Holy Spirit, so maybe that is. So I can see how arousal and you know, can make you feel that way when you're looking inspired by art. I would say that. That's where I'm going with as I go look at my dégâts and shit like that.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier today because we all draw inspiration from somewhere. The irony is some of my favorite artists are obviously Matsumoto, but on the more American side, Robert Williams, especially his black and white art. I mean, he's well known for his color work and his paintings, but his black and white comics, he's just very, very precise with his lines. It dawned on me, it's all got to come from somewhere. Williams is pulling up from, he's got to have, he actually said that he drew a lot of influence from Gaudi, the same guy that did the big church in Spain.
Sagrada Familia.
Yeah.
It's beautiful in Gaudi Park. He's an architect. It's absolutely amazing. His work in Barcelona is just unparalleled.
But the irony is
I'm a total geek. I'm sorry.
No, and that work is, I mean, the architecture that he's done is just absolutely knockout amazing. And it's perfect for the dungeon in many ways.
Yeah, because it's got function and form.
Mm-hmm. But what really caught me off guard was last week I picked up a book about Virgil Finlay, the thing is that most people don't know who Virgil Finlay is, but almost everybody recognizes his work. He did a lot of the artwork that went into the pulps, the science fiction pulps and the horror pulps. And so he did a lot of scratchboard and pen and ink work. And so he's the one where, you know, it's the laser pistols and pinup girls, the strange looking monsters and the guys that all have these terrified looks on their faces.
Okay, I'm looking at some of his stuff, yeah.
And I'm going through the book, and I'm beginning to realize that there's several styles, including just the way that Virgil just knocks out a layout that had to have been influencing Robert Williams, and just the way that it just kind of like throws you off guard in terms of there's a way, even though it's black and white, that he approaches brightness, light, and astonishment, shock. And you can see that in Robert Williams' stuff. And it's like looking at these, it's like, I'd swear I've seen some of these in Williams' paintings.
Hmm.
And so it's like this all has to come from somewhere. And there's no doubt in my mind that Finlay must have gotten a lot of his techniques from like printmakers. And there's a lot of styles that look very similar to what we would see in woodcuts from, I want to say, Renaissance times. That's kind of, I'm kind of going on a ledge there. But this all has to come from somewhere. And yeah, certainly.
Like the illuminated panels that they.
Exactly, exactly.
Art history buff.
You are. Wow. Dude,
I know a little bit about everything.
I'm so impressed.
Total truism.
Mm. Well, I'm thinking Dürer. Am I saying that right? Albrecht Dürer, AD, the guy that used to do a lot of the skeletons and everything's these tiny little etched plates.
I don't know the artist, but I know the art that, of which you speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, here's the interesting thing for me. I mean, I love art. I'm a huge lover and proponent of art, all kinds of art. I used to joke that I did the, you know, museum tour of Europe, because when I went there, that's all I did. I went to museums. For me, I think that art, what makes art great or not great, is how it speaks to you on mm-hmm. on a very deep, almost unable to really specify and verbalize level. It has to be an emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, taking that to the fetish level, I think that you can look at a fetish art and be like, well, there's a lot of pictures and things that I look where I was like, wow, that's really beautiful rope work, or that's really beautiful this. But that's all very technical. That's not necessarily where you're like, oh my God, the look on her face, the look on his face, where it's like that, it just speaks to you. Where and do you see that there's a divide in some fetish art where it really kind of rises to that level, and some where it's just kind of a little bit more technical?
Actually, the best example I can think of that is when you go to the stuff, a lot of people wouldn't necessarily call it artwork because they weren't thinking of it that way back then. But, you know, the name, in terms of the photography and the video, the name that comes to mind the most is Jamie Gillis, who he was... And still is, he's an adult performer. And so the thing is, when you go back and look at like the pornos from the 60s and 70s, whether they're in magazine form or whether he was in a video or film, he's always absolutely terrified. Oh my God, she's beating the shit out of me.
It's kind of hot, actually.
There's definitely that angle of it, but you know, I came in from the angle of, wow, this is awesome. This is fun. This is, you know, I come from the Tom of Finland side where it's like, I like to see men having happy sex.
Big dicks.
Happy, happy pain. Yeah, yeah, sure.
All right.
And that's the thing. It's like they're all, you know, the women were always angry and they were always stern, and the guys were always just in complete shock. And you know, it's like dude, get in the, you know, stop cringing and get in the fucking game and let her fuck you up the ass, come on.
Well, but that is, it's still, that's a huge fetish, that desire. I mean, there's a lot of men that I speak to that really this desire to be broken. Yeah. And they need to get to that point of terror in order to be broken. So I could see how that would be very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
from you know, like the male sub side. Do you have...
That is not specific to men, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. Hmm. So and yet, when we've crossed that line, you know, it was, yeah, I guess I had a good time. You weren't so sure. Yeah.
So the artist that I like is the one that does the big plus-sized ladies.
And the Japanese little, one?
Yeah, what is his name?
I love that art.
It's on my page.
The Japanese guy? I love all those pictures.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly who you're talking about.
These women are magnificently, they're big-breasted, big-assed, gorgeously proportioned, and they're just sitting on these
little teeny Asian men.
And they're
hanging
men. They
can breathe through their ears.
Oh, yeah. And they've got...
Or not breathe, whatever.
They don't need to breathe. Tap out. Tap out if you need a breath.
That's irrelevant.
That's how
we
roll.
What a way to die, though, right?
Exactly.
Seriously.
But I love the look, because these women look so like, I don't care what are you there? Oh, I don't, you know, they're just so unaffected by it all. And they just, they're gorgeous. And their faces, their hair, and I just love how he makes some of them blonde, some of them have black hair, some of them have whips. One of them was singing in a microphone while she's sitting on some guy on a stool. I'm all, this is crazy sauce.
I love it.
But it's so cool. Oh, my
some
God.
Some enchanted evening, you will sit on a stranger.
It's on my page. I'm Phaonosaurus Rex.
I love that so much.
You did?
So
you changed
I did.
It?
So
I'm changing it every month. I'm letting the brownies decide what my name is going to be every month. They said, you're Phaonosaurus Rex now.
That's me.
Oh, I thought brownies.
I named you that.
Then I'm going to let the doms do it because the brownies are sleeping.
Hey.
Right, I'm just kidding. Right there, that one. This one. That's my favorite. The big blonde hanging a man by his knees while he's eating her pussy.
Right?
And she's just looking at the camera like, what? Right there, that's his name.
Namio Harukawa.
Yeah. Very, very well known. Gorgeous. Oh, wow. Gorgeous,
yeah, if you Google femdom art, that's usually one of the first ones that comes up. Yeah. I know.
And me and my puppy, he loves it too. So that's how we bond. When I know I'm going to see him, I'll post another one of those photos. And he's like, oh.
Ooh, communication through art.
We communicate through art.
I do that with the potential.
Aww.
He's an artist too, so it makes sense.
Yeah. It's nice.
The one I'm really digging lately is also coming up through the Japanese ranks. I hope I'm getting this right. I believe she's called Anka Boots, E-N-K-A. I think it's boots as in shoe. And the thing is it's a little tricky because with the Japanese, you have not only do you have men and women, but... And in the mainstream, there's the kids, but there's this middle line of what they call the chibis, where you have an adult, but they're shown in smaller proportions. Mm. And she does that. And the thing is that you got, you know, and what she'll do is she'll also go similar to who we've been talking about. She'll go with the large, you know, she'll have a 6-foot-tall woman or a 7-foot-tall woman next to a 4-foot-tall guy. And, you know, she loves making, you know, it is obvious that these are at least men, young men. But, you know, the proportions, it does start to kind of cross the line a little bit. But she does this thing where, you know, it's empowering on the female side, you know, because especially when you think about Japan, you know, it's like, you know, people are fairly short, and you know, she has this way of, you know, it's like the women in her drawings look, you know, they're not only tall, but they feel empowered, they feel like they're in charge, and they feel happy about what they're doing, and it actually, to me, actually comes across as a good feeling.
For now, you identify as a what?
I pretty much started as a sub. Okay. Nowadays I identify as kinky. I do have a little bit of a switch side to me, and that's part of the gender bent side of me as well. You know, okay. It's like, I do have, you know, if I do start topping, it would probably be more from, a mistress side or a transgender side or CD side.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. So now most people, when they're looking at art that has people in it, we just identify often with one or more of the people within it, especially if you're looking at a two-person where it's got a power, a difference power exchange. Mm-hmm. So ladies on the other side of the table, when you're looking at these art, which clearly Nancy is currently doing.
I want to see what he's talking about.
So. Yeah. Let me pass this around, by the way.
Oh, okay. We're looking at his
art. It is all penis all the time, so I'm not.
Yeah, that's cool. But my point is, when you look at these, I mean, do you feel yourself? I mean, are you feeling like a connection and arousal? He's showing us his art now.
Oh my god! Tweet that pictures. Is so hot.
Put some on the camera too.
Can we do this?
Yeah.
So this is some of his art, and it's beautiful.
Better than I. Well, when I just love the imagery. I love the fantasy. That's why I love the cartoons, the cartoon aspect of it too. But I feel like I want to be there. I want to be in the action. So beautiful. I was going to talk about Second Life I don't know if you know about it, but it's
I know about it, but
it's a virtual world and you can create your own avatar. And in many ways, it's like creating art. So you're creating a three-dimensional character and you're designing it. You're designing, you know, what it's going to look like, its hair, its clothes. And part of the game is you can meet other people, you know, from around the world. And I'm actively active at this place called The Dominion, which is a femdom community. And the women there are all beautifully dressed. And it's all, they're like drawn. They look like these works of art. But you can interact with other characters. So you're like creating art in the virtual world. And it's so amazing. Like all these images can be created and then you can interact with them. So it's like interactive art in a way. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And the femdoms, oh my gosh, it's like an unspoken like competition of who's going to look more fabulous than the other. And I have like a pair of skull heels that are red bottomed with these skulls and wicked sharp, you know, heels. And they're just fabulous. But, you know, I couldn't wear that in real life. So in a way, I'm kind of creating art with other people. And it's really fun. So I just want to give a shout out to any Second Lifers out there. Hey, Dominion. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? They're on their knees right now worshiping the women. Right now.
As they should be.
Mm-hmm. As they, where they belong. God damn it.
So what was the question?
How do you feel, baby?
How do I feel?
Yeah, I mean, do I know what you're into, and this might not be your thing, but... Are you getting, you know, do you look at them and do they resonate with you at any point?
I mean, this resonates with me just as much as, you know, fetish photography. Because to me, it's still, right? It's still a representation of something that could happen or, you know, that you might think about doing, but like, we're not going to do it, but like thinking like, oh, that'd be so awesome. It's like a jumping off point. You know, it's not just, something that makes me think, okay, I'd like to have orgasms now. It's more than that. You know, it's especially when it's images, that aren't, they don't have to be so like necessarily like sexually charged, but something showing the power exchange. I mean, that just kind of, not the words that inspire, but it kind of just, it makes me feel reassured that the way that I feel when I do those things, like, yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. So I see art and I think like, wow, you know, that person was able to capture that emotion that is really hard for me to put into words, and they're able to put it into this beautiful piece of art. So yeah, that's how I feel about that.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's romantic.
Why is everything romantic?
I don't know. I feel romantic.
Clearly, you feel romantic.
It's this lighting. Is romantic.
That's how I. That's my Saturday night right there.
Giddy up.
How you doing?
Patrick's like, yes, please.
We're thinking about getting that hood.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk after. I didn't see it, so
it's
behind a computer
black,
screen.
So. Fabulous. He doesn't need to see. Come on.
All right. We used a hood the other night. It was fantastic.
Ooh. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's awesome.
Stock room rummage sale.
Oh,
let's
is it still going on?
No, they do it twice a year. Once in June and then once just before Christmas.
Okay.
So we'll have to do like a Dom Scouts field trip.
A field trip to get some perverted things.
What do you... So I asked you initially, you know, how, where it comes from within you. But when you are... Once you have like a concept and you're working on it, what do you want to get across to the person that's looking at it? What is there what kind of emotions do you want to pull out of them? Or is it really just as simple as it's hot?
Sometimes it is as simple as it's hot. There is, I think actually one of the things is like, there is a side of a bliss or a subspace or a moment of captivation. I think one of the ones that was coming to mind was today I uploaded to FetLife Sally Succubi, which is a character that's kind of appeared before.
I like that.
And she's got this... I still haven't figured out what universe she's going to officially occur in if I ever go anywhere with the character. But she's got this subby in a like dimensional trap, and she's basically banging her with a strap on. And so she's just got this, you know, this look of, you know, I've got you, I'm really having a good time with this. And the sub is kind of in that, I don't quite know what to make of this, but I'm about to come really hard. And,
I know that face.
And I don't know what to do. And I do admit, it's like some of the pieces I've gone with have had that feeling before of captivation, mesmerization, or at least I'd like to think of that. What I really do like is scenes where they're having fun, they're enjoying what they're doing. I do want that to come across in the artwork, that this is, you know, that this is kinky fun.
It's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be scary.
Mm-hmm.
It can make you go, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Or it can make you go, no.
I really like the fear factor.
You do. Mm. You really do.
Really do.
Because when you smushed Patrick's balls, just to bring it back to that, I saw the look on your face. You were like, I am smushing these balls. I am going to smush them. And he was like, what the fuck? He was very afraid.
That's why people are scared of me.
They are.
So really,
you do.
And that's fine. I like that fear. Mm-hmm. I want them to be scared. I get off on that. And then, you know, that plays into the edges that they like. And it's the same kind of thing when you look at things. I mean, you know, there are things that I've seen castration fetish art,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that's, I'm not going to castrate anybody. I actually have the means with which to do it, but I'm not going to do it. I purchased all of the things with which to do it to terrify somebody, which was incredibly effective. Does that, I mean, I spent $20 on Amazon.
Okay.
You know,
it only costs $20 to castrate somebody.
It's all it costs. It's all it costs. I'll bring the stuff the next time.
Please
I see
do.
You so you can see it as well.
Yes. And we'll just show people.
We can show people that, hey, we're doing free castration demos tonight.
Oh.
And then we'll be playing ping pong.
Yeah.
I do also have sutures, so if, you know, they're bleeding excessively.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good. Or sew it somewhere else on their body.
I was actually thinking about that because with, you know, the one thing I remember with, the one thing that with like Jamie Gillis and the 70s porn is that it was, there really wasn't much suspense. And I think that from fear, suspense, that unto itself, really, to be candid, one of the first hard-ons I ever got was of an issue of suspense. It really, I was afraid, but it was more of a suspenseful, what, I don't comprehend what's going on, what is this? And at the time, of course, you know, way too young to understand what the heck was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And later, I did keep that in mind. And actually, I think in terms of a good scene, I think that suspense should be a part of that. I think suspense is a good part of the fun.
Mm-hmm. I can hear this beautiful singing.
Is that me?
I think that's you.
I think it's
me. My laptop?
So it's the fear factor, the mind fuck of it.
Muted. It's not me.
I'm not a big fan of when they play the mindfuck games, but there is something to where it's like, a good example is you're on the cross, you're tied up, you're blindfolded, the hood.
Mm.
I mean, one side thought is one of the things I love about the drawing is, in some ways, I get to try out stuff that I'll never be able to afford at home or that I want to get. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Like the latex rubber hood with the inflatable gag and that sort of thing.
And the fuck saw and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, it's like the, you know, one of my first drawings was actually a drawing of a submissive, and I called it The Waiting. And that was actually, to me, that's part of the thing is that you're there, you're tied up, you know, you've just been spanked, you've just been cropped, you've just been caned. And the thing is that what you're waiting for is what's next. What's keeping the amperage up is not what you just went through, but what's next to come. Is it CBT? Is it the clothespins? Is it the strap-on? What's next in line? And that tension really does help bring the arousal up.
That's where I play a lot. I spend a lot, I mean, obviously a lot of time playing, but I spend a lot of time playing in that area. Mostly, not just because, I mean, I love it, but I don't always know what I'm going to do. So literally, I like lay out all my toys. And she's like, what's she going to do? What's she going to do? What's she going to do? And part of it is, you know, what am I, and I am playing in that space of that unknown, mm-hmm. that anticipatory arousing fear, which is, I mean, it's still exciting. It's like that moment before the kiss. It's that anticipation, to make it super vanilla, which everybody loves, you know?
That's romantic.
And capturing, if you can capture that in art. I mean, I've seen it in photographs, and which is really fantastic. It's that that one expression on the face, flash in the eyes.
The cum dripping from the No.
Wait, that's a different picture.
Wrong one.
It's a different picture.
Sorry.
I mean, you can have that picture if you want.
I'm gonna think about that later.
All right. That's
cool. More the drool, just starting
maybe
to slowly go off the side of the ball gag, trying to swallow and not get it all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Gotta mm-hmm. love that.
And it's mm-hmm. like the silence right after the silence right after the single tail. It's like what?
It's not quite as awesome as tears, but yeah, I love drool.
Yeah.
Tears though. Love tears.
Well, you
shuck so much.
You shuddered. You shuddered.
Oh. Seriously, that interrogation scene, you've no clue. The tears.
Was that the French?
The French. The French.
The French?
Mm. I did an interrogation scene with her entirely in French, where I didn't speak any English, only French.
Allure.
And I still can't speak French. She freaks out every time I do it. but it got really dark. She yellowed.
Wow.
She yellowed.
Was it the French?
Awesome.
Was it because she was speaking French, or you're like, I don't understand what you're saying?
The crying and the ugly crying too. Oh. It was so awesome.
Oh, now she's embarrassed.
I'm getting flashes of the Addams Family.
That sounds hot. I wish I could speak French. Damn.
Don't use it for evil.
I'm gonna learn Klingon and do Klingon. Kapla. I'm gonna do that. That'll be hot.
Would not be okay.
I'm gonna dress full up, Klingon makeup and everything, and be like, "You here? Come sit." You know, it'll be fabulous.
Set up a booth down at Comic Con. You make some cash.
Yeah.
Klingon dominatrix.
Lost Con.
I'm gonna do it. That's gonna be my new job.
Wow.
You think I'm kidding?
I don't.
I went on YouTube. I learned how to do the makeup. I'm gonna do it. You'll see.
YouTube. You could also learn Klingon on YouTube too. So.
I did. I learned it from that German guy who could speak very fluent Klingon.
Well, they're similar. They've got all of that.
Fun fact.
What do you find most difficult to convey through your art?
Actually, it's not so much the conveyance. It's the real hard part is most of what I'm doing through either circumstance or where I'm publishing it or where it's going, is the size. So, and I originally started, as you can tell from the work, mostly as a pen and ink guy. And so, nowadays, a lot of what I'm doing just by, the convenience of it is most of what I'm doing is on 8.5 by 11. So, whereas, you know, one of the tricks that the really good guys use is they go big. You know, it's like, wow, how did you get all that detail? It's like, well, the painting is about 3 feet wide or 4 feet wide. That's how they can get all those tiny lines in there, is because those lines are actually much larger than they appear. Trying to get that into an 8.5 by 11 drawing with a one size micron pen can be very, very intimidating. Just trying to get the emotion, just trying to get the facial features right. And that's especially now that, I mean, I'm in my 40s, I'm hiding it well, but, you know, now, as has been foretold in legend, I'm now having to use my reading glasses to get everything just right. It's, all right, just, you know, it's like, you know, three lights on. I now have like these portable lights, and I've now got the Foster Grants with the, you know, the little light LED lights on the side, just so I can draw in places like Sanctuary or Threshold or the Lair. You know, it's because, you know, everyone's
got dark.
Yeah. So this way, I've got like the what are they, bright eyes or something like that, where I can actually amplify it and get close and try and get that better.
All right, that makes sense. Well, you know, before we run out of time, what's the show you've got coming up? What's going on?
I got to admit, you caught me off guard. I'm trying to remember what we were talking about with that. I'm a publicist by day. I'm a publicist in the adult industry. And I'm helping out with Sanctuary LAX. I'm trying to remember what we were talking about with that. I'm stunned.
That's okay.
I am planning a thing for Los Angeles Science Fiction and Comic Convention. There's a friend of mine that operates a booth there, and I'm planning on going in on a table with them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's going to be...
That'd be perfect.
I believe that's going to be January.
You have to have a lot of art with three tits.
Please,
we've got the one in here with the four boobies. The alien fisting.
Yeah.
Fisting by the Dom with four boobies.
Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Can I just say hi to my friend Owen, who's leaving all these fabulous comments, and I just
on
noticed.
He's watching us on live stream.
Hi,
Owen.
Hey,
Owen. Yeah, we have a few people watching us on live stream. Well, watching me, rather.
And they're commenting.
But also listening.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
What's that one? Spock-o-matic?
Spock-o-matrix.
Oh, Spock-o-matrix.
In response to your comment.
The Klingon?
What did you say?
What
did it say? I can't read. I need glasses too.
It was in response to your comment about doing the interrogation scene in Klingon.
And he said, nano, nano. No. What did he say?
Wait, really? It was a morgue?
No. Jasmine Jen commented Spock-o-matrix.
Oh, hi, Jasmine.
What did he say? I don't know what Spock is.
Listening, watching.
Aw. Hi.
Is Spock a Matrix when Benedict Cumberbatch, when Zachary Quinto and Keanu Reeves meet face to face? Is that what Spock a Matrix is?
That sounds so fucking hot. I want to get in that sandwich. I'm just saying.
The gay great acting sandwich and the straight not great acting. That's the bread that you want.
I want that bread.
I don't want that bread.
I want it.
Okay, you have that
I
bread.
I want it toasted.
It's awesome. Take
with
that
a little bread. Mayonnaise and mustard. I want to put it all on me.
Keanu Reeves is clearly the mayonnaise.
He might be. I think he's smarter than he looks. I would love to tie him up. I really would. Just for fun. You know, make him... do funny things.
You know who I want to tie up?
Who?
Quentin Tarantino.
Ooh, can I help you?
He's big. He's a huge fucking guy. He's like a giant.
You want to take
him
down?
And I want to step on him.
The dude is like hopped up on coke like all the time. I just want to tie him up.
He has huge foot fetish. Did you know that? He has a huge foot fetish.
Yeah, there's a lot of people's foot fetishes.
You can just step all over him. Be fabulous.
He'd be all into that. Like, yes.
Yes. Yes. Lick it.
What? That's not like my, you know, I don't think I really have a number one fantasy.
I mean, I guess if I had to say like what celebrity I wanted to fist.
Oh really? Who do you want to fist?
I want to fist Sarah Silverman.
Can you gag her first?
Well, I can't. Why? No.
God, she's so annoying.
Why can't I just?
You can, but if I'm there, I want her gagged. If I'm not there, she can say whatever she wants. I just don't want to hear her.
Yeah, no talking. That's my new thing. No speaking.
No speaking.
No speaking. Shh, shh, shh.
Did I give you permission?
She'll love it. Because you're very good at fisting.
Fun.
You're talented. You get skills.
She does. She has a talented fist. I mean, and it helps that it's like a really reasonable size.
Yeah.
Her hand is a very small hand.
Seriously. You should put it on your business card. Fist.
the fuck was that?
That was like
fist
punch
on the camera. Yeah, we weren't fisting.
Let's
we were
fist each other. Come here. I want to fist you. What? How about this?
Oh. There's a lot of weirdness happening in the studio. If only you could all see.
Tickles.
I like to tickle it.
Oh, fist wow. Mm-hmm. I guess we're making our own fetish art now.
How about this?
Fetish sock puppet. I mean, fetish shadow puppets.
That's the sound.
She's having way too much fun with the video feed. Way too much fun. For somebody who didn't want to be on camera, way too much fun.
Monosaurus Rex. Oh. Okay, sorry. So, I apologize. Back to the show. Everybody.
All of that just happened. And it was awkward.
You gave me the address here. This is your fault.
No, she gave
She did. It's your fault.
I take full responsibility for all of this.
And you're welcome.
It's true.
Yes.
You should actually have a business card that has, like, you know, the fisting. Yeah. You know, I've got my business card.
Well, I told you I want to start giving out ribbons, like blue ribbons with a duck. So that way I can give those out to people that I've had my fist in.
You should, like an award.
How about those little lame, like, rubber bracelets that they have for, like, you know.
Lipstrong.
There we go.
Been fisted. And then it's like a little pink rubber bracelet.
That could be a new form of cruising.
Mm. Well, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
Let's start a revolution.
We're a mess, you guys.
On a revolution.
We're a mess.
It's a Wednesday. Come on.
We are. It's hump day.
Hump it.
Mm. We're humping Wednesday. Mm.
Yes, mm. Owen, a participation ribbon is exactly what the fuck I'm talking about.
Owen knows his shit. That's what I'm just going to say.
So it's a fisting participation ribbon?
It's a participation. You know how, like, when you were in, like, elementary or junior, and, like, there was the whole science fair, and, you know, you made your, like, sorry-ass solar system compared to somebody's, like, crazy fucking volcano and shit.
Yep.
And, like, you just got a participation for, oh, how cute, you participated in the science fair, but you're kind of lame.
Yeah. I still have mine.
But then there should be levels, because there's participation be the person that you tried to put your fist into.
All vaginas are made equal, and they're all the same to me, regardless of how much of my hand I have in them.
Oh, that's not the hole I was thinking of.
What?
Sorry, you say fisting. I think butts.
Male.
Sorry, yeah, it's the guy thing.
I want to work on that. I do. I want to
you
put should. My
I have potential you might be able to do that.
It's fun. I've done it before. It's so much fun. Crisco, do it.
Do you feel icky about him?
You haven't met him.
Okay, all right.
So you don't have any feeling one way or the other?
Okay. Well, can I be there?
You don't have to talk to him.
Sure.
I have to at least like him.
We can gag him. It's cool.
You know,
you do have to like him.
If I don't like him, if I don't like you, I don't want to touch you. Yeah. Don't touch me. Like, just stay away.
He's a whore.
I want nothing to do with you.
If she doesn't want to do it, I'll do it. I'm just saying, I'll step in for the team. I'll step in.
I mean, my fist is not pleasant to put in somebody, but I'll give it a try.
Mine is great.
College try.
You're very noble.
Yeah. Let's try that.
I'll be the fisting doula, though. I'll just wipe the sweat from your brow as you're doing it.
So I'm yelling, and we're getting running way out of time.
Yeah, but I do want to say I would like us to have a second fisting episode here.
Because
now we have video.
We have video, and we have somebody who volunteered most readily the other evening. So we can definitely have a live in-studio fisting, and her orgasms are so fantastic.
Yeah.
But we will need a doula for that, Fauna.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'll be there.
Doula
just
for that one?
Tell me when. I know where.
We also want to do the what in the butt episode, so.
Yeah, and Mindy's all in the butt that. Episode?
Mm-hmm.
I think
I'm all over it.
I got my drumstick ready.
Oh. She is. She's awesome. She's totally. And she likes to put. She wants us to put stuff up her butt too.
Okay. Oh, I want to be there.
And we're trying to see if we can put.
No, you're so cute.
Up Jeremy's butt.
Oh, do it.
We really, really want to put stuff up Jeremy's butt.
Jeremy needs to use his mental ass power to guess the objects that are going into his butt.
Ooh. This is Jeremy so bad.
And we took a vote, and everybody voted that it was a yes.
Jeremy should have stuff put up his butt.
It's extra sensory butt. ESB.
Oh,
this is fantastic. So we're stacking them up. We got stuff coming up.
Let's do it.
We're excited about all of this. We're trying to use the video more.
Thank you guys so much for commenting on the live stream.
Real quick, you can find us all. I'm on the Twitter at Insidious Muse. I'm actually everywhere as Insidious Muse.
And I'm everywhere as Service Slut.
And then you, Jay?
Fetish-artist.com.
Awesome. And
I'm Faunosaurus Rex.
Have a good one. We'll be back next week.
Bye.